Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Baloscha, we Amir Hashem have four Divrei Torah. We are going to start all the way at the beginning of the Parsha where HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe to instruct Aharon about the lighting of the menorah. And it's very specific as to how the menorah should be lit. And there were seven lamps, three on one side, three on the other side, one in the middle. And you have to light the wicks pointing towards the middle. And there are details about how it has to be done. And at the end of the day, it says, Vayasken Maro, and he did it. He did exactly as I was told, and the Sifrei says as follows. Why does it say Vayasken Aaron? That's what he did. The Hagid Shvacho Shal Aaron Shloshina. It's coming to praise Aaron that he didn't make any changes from the instructions that he was instructed by Moshe on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's an interesting note, an interesting question. Why would he change anything? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to do something, you do it. So why do we have to praise Aaron for not making any changes when we wouldn't expect him to make any changes? So there are various explanations to what's going on here, and we'll just go through one of them today. The Sifsei Kodesh says as follows, that human nature, the teva of the Adam, the human nature is that when he goes up in levels, and we're not going to talk about Ruchnias per se, but it could apply to Ruchnias as well, when he gets a better position or something more powerful, he gets a raise at work, he achieves a certain status, it typically goes to his head. He thinks about himself and he thinks that he's a better person, or it could be that he's a better person than others. Oftentimes when somebody's status changes, that's the human nature. It goes to his head. And when it came to Aaron here, he's getting a very important task in the Mishkan to light the menorah representing Torah She'Be'al Peh. This is a very important task that he is given. And the Pasuk tells us, Vayasken Aaron, he did it, Aaron did it, just like the menorah. He worked on the menorah, and he made himself like the menorah. Vayas Kein Aaron, he made himself just like the menorah, he made himself. What does that mean? So just like a menorah, that it can't tell at all whether it's tall or short or beautiful or expensive. It has no clue. So too, that is what Aaron was like as well. It didn't go to his head whatsoever, whether he was doing a significant task when he became the Kohen Gadol, when he was doing the Avodah and the Mishkan. He didn't think of it at all as him raising up in his position, achieving a greater status. Vayas Kein Aaron, just like a menorah, it has no emotions. It didn't care. Doesn't care if it's expensive or not. So to Aaron, he did not care. It did not go into his head. And accordingly, that's why the Medrash the Sifrei tells us to tell us the Shevach of Aaron Shloshina, that he didn't change at all. It didn't change him at all. It didn't change about how he thought about himself, how he thought about himself relative to others. It had no impact whatsoever. So that's why it says Shloshina. He didn't change in any way. In fact, there's a pasuk in Malachim Beis Paragimel that there Elisha was in a bit of a mood, a bad mood, and he had to have Ruach HaKodesh. So in order to have Ruach HaKodesh, you have to be Besimcha. So he wasn't in the frame of mind to do that. So the pasuk says, V'haya kenagen haminagen utihi alav Ruach Hashem. So Elisha instructed, he said, bring me a musician, and the musician will play, and that'll put me in a better mood, and then the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come upon me. So that's what the pasuk says. Vayaken again, amen again, when the musician played, Vayati alav Ruach Hashem, the Ruach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu descended upon Elisha. So Rav Shmelki from Nicholsburg says as follows, it's not the pshat in the pasuk, but he brings a drush in the pasuk, that Vahaya kim nagen hamen again. When the minagen, the person who is playing, the musician, is like the instrument, that just like the instrument, the music doesn't impress the harp itself. The music doesn't impress the guitar. It doesn't go to the guitar's head. A person, when he puts out something beautiful, he's at the top of his game. He's a professional musician. He says, wow, I did great. That was a great piece I played. So it's saying here, when the musician is like the instrument itself, Ayak Kenagen ha-minagen, when the nagen, the player, is just like the instrument, that is when he will be able to have a nevuah, a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it doesn't go to his head, just like the instrument, how it's played, it doesn't go to its head. So to the person playing it, it shouldn't go to its head. That's what we see the same thing by Aaron. Vayas ken Aaron, just like the menorah, it had no impact on it. That was a beautiful, expensive menorah. It had no impact on Aaron as well. Shloshina had no impact on him and his ego that he was doing this avoda of the menorah. Now we're going to move forward to Dvar Torah number 2, and we have a discussion here about the Levim placing the Bechors. The Bechors would have done the Avoda, but now we have the Levim replacing them. And it says it's going to avoid a problem for Yisrael, because if they would come close to the Mishkan, places that they're not allowed into, that would be a negative. They would be punished terribly for that. So the Pasuk tells us as follows. We're in Kerek Ches, Pasuk Yutes, V'lo yeh b'vnei Yisrael negev, Begeshes b'nei Yisrael ala kodesh. There will not be a plague when Yisrael comes close to the Mishkan. In other words, replacing the Yisraelim. And it's going to be the Levim that are doing the Avoda in the Mishkan. And there's going to be no plague because the Yisraelim are not, if they would come close, places they're not allowed to be in, there would be a negev. There would be a plague. They're not allowed to be in those places, those holier places. So Rav Meir Medijikov, he explains as follows. This is not, again, the pshat in the pasuk, but it's a drush in the pasuk. Shebenoheg shebeolam matay yehudim yispalo bekavana rabba. What's normal? Normal people in the world, when do they have kavana? When do they really pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When they have somebody sick, Rachman Litzan, in the family. When they have tsuris, when they have terrible pains, somebody they know is going through a difficult time. When they lose a job, when they're financial difficulties. When there are bad things happening, that's when somebody really davens with kavana. But otherwise, they don't. And the pasuk is telling us, al pidrush, v'lo yeh b'vnei Yisrael negev. You should not wait till there's a negev. You should not wait till there's a plague, when there's somebody sick and the like. Begeshes b'nei Yisrael HaKadosh, when b'nei Yisrael should come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to daven. Don't wait till something bad happens. Don't wait till there's a negev to build that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but do it all the time. They should come to the Kodesh, they should daven, they should have kavana from simcha, not only sorrow. So we should, not only in the bad times, but the good times as well, is when we should daven with the kavana and build that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3. We're in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Ches, the appointment by Moshe Rabbeinu of 70 members of the Sanhedrin. And we're seeing now a message by Moshe Rabbeinu. This is after Klal Yisrael, they complained about not having meat, and Moshe Rabbeinu gave a decree, 30 days you're going to be eating meat, you go on and meat, you're going to get sick of the meat. And now there's a message that is given to Klal Yisrael that we're appointing Shivim, Zekanim, 70 members of the Sanhedrin. Moshe Rabbeinu is basically giving the message, it's not going to only be me leading. This is just too much. We're going to have other people assist as well because of all the constant challenges and difficulties and complaints that was happening. And so we have the appointment of the Shivim Zekanim, and it says that they each had Nevuah, and it stopped their Nevuah. But then it continues that there were two people that had not been in attendance with what was going on. Eldad Umeidad mit Navima Machane. They are having a Nevuah. Eldad Umeidad, two individuals. And this is Perek Yudala, Pasuk Chavches, and Yeshua comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, tells him what's going on. There's Eldad, there's Medad, they're also acting as Nevim, they're having Nevuah, and he says, Adoni Moshe Kelem, you have to stop them, you have to stop them. So the question is as follows, why did Yeshua feel the need that to tell Moshe this? Why should Moshe stop two people that are having Nevuah? That should be a positive thing, that we have more Nevim, Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Yosef Shaul Nitinzan says as follows. He says, who was Yeshua? Yeshua was the servant of Moshe Rabbeinu his whole life, Kol Yamav. He was always watching Moshe Rabbeinu, learning from Moshe Rabbeinu, assisting Moshe Rabbeinu, and he knew what Moshe Rabbeinu had to do in order to become the greatest Navi of Klal Yisrael, how hard he had to work, how much learning he had to do, how much character building he had to do until he was able to become a Navi. And now suddenly, one morning, we have two people get up in the machane in the camp, and they're Nevi'im. We have Eldad u'Medad without going through that challenging process of self-improvement. And that really was disturbing to Yehoshua to see such a thing. He says, this can't happen. In order to become a Navi, you have to put in the effort. And when we don't have the effort, that should not be associated with Nevuah. That's why he came running to Moshe Rabbeinu, saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to stop them. They should not be having Nevuah. They didn't do what you did in order to achieve your status. And I saw an interesting vort. It says, by Rav Yosef Shaul Nitzitzan, he says, same thing applies nowadays, that it used to be that people had to work really hard to improve themselves and to become of status, and for people to really esteem them for what they achieve in their improvement, their Torah knowledge, and their midos improvement, and to become a real chassid, not talking about chassidim per se, but to be somebody who is looked up to as a dignitary of Klal Yisrael in a very spiritual way. And nowadays, anyone can put on a long jacket, he doesn't say exactly this, but anyone can become a Rebbe. Anyone can be a dignified person, or at least in his eyes, by putting on a fancy jacket and acting the act and walking the walk. And that's not what it's all about. It's about putting in effort and really becoming the best people that we can be. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4. And it's towards the end of the Parsha that Aharon and Miriam, the siblings of Moshe, they spoke a little bit Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. And it was misplaced. They should have not have done so. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Ches, says, U'madua lo yireisim ledaber b'avdi Moshe. How can you not fear to speak about my Eved, about Moshe? Moshe Rabbeinu was the most modest of people. Anav me'al mikol adam. Pel peh da berbo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I speak directly to Moshe Rabbeinu. No one has nevu on that level. And here you are speaking negatively about Moshe Rabbeinu. So what we're going to get back to in a second is the following. Why does it say, how could you speak negatively about my Eved Moshe? Why didn't it just say, Avdi, my greatest Eved, my servant? Or how could you speak negatively about Moshe? Why did they have to say both? How could you speak negative? Did you not fear speaking negatively about both my Eved and Moshe? Why both of those words? Why are they necessary? So Rab Aryeh Leib, this is going to tell a story to answer this. So Rab Aryeh Leib, who was a great, great Talmud Chacham, what a great sage, the author of the Ksos HaChoshen, a very in-depth, detailed halachic work. So he was the chief rabbi of a city called Sitri. And in that city, he was one of the opponents of Hasidus. He was one of the opponents of emerging Hasidim. And it happened to be that in his city, there were a number of Hasidim who were followers of the Chozemi Lublin. So there was a little bit friction there. There was a little bit friction between the chief rabbi, the Ktos HaChoshen, and then those Hasidim. And there was a time that those Hasidim went over the line and they disgraced the Ktos HaChoshen. They did talk to whatever happened there. They really went over the line, and it was wholly inappropriate how they acted and what they said. And the Ktos HaChoshen put them into excommunication, into Chayrim. People weren't able to interact with them, and they, until the end of the term, there was a term that was given on the Nidui, on the Chayrim, and they decided, those Hasidim who were in Chayrim, that they were going to leave the city for the time, and they'd go to the town of the Chozemi Lublin, and they'd stay. They'd be with the Chozemi Lublin, their Rebbe, for the time, and when the term was over of their chayrim, they'd come back to the town of Sitri, where the Ktos HaChoshen was the Rav, and that was their home. So they went to the town of the Rebbe, the Chozemi Lublin, and they went to visit with him. And the Shamish, they told the Shamish, we're here to visit with the Rebbe. The Rebbe, the Chose, said, I'm not going to see them until a given date. And it happened to be that date was the day after the term of their excommunication ended. Basically saying, I'm not going to meet with them while they're in excommunication. I'm not going to do that. I guess he knew what was going on and about the term of the excommunication. And finally, at the end of the term, they came to visit with the Rebbe. And he says to them, our pasuk, umadua lo yireisim ledaber be'avdi be'moshe. Why did you not fear to talk about, talk negatively about my Eved, about Moshe. And he quotes the Rashi on that pasuk that says, Ba'avdi, my Eved, afal pishena Moshe, even though he's not Moshe. So you could be an Eved, and you don't have to be Moshe. And b'Moshe afilu eino avdi. And you could be a Moshe even if you're not my Eved. So what's going on here? Why does it say that you can't talk about an Eved, avdi, even though it's not Moshe? Don't talk about Moshe even if he's not my Eved. So there are two types of people. This is what the Chozem Lublin told his Hasidim that had just ended their Cherem term. There are two types of people that you have to fear. That's why Umadua lo yureisim ledaber b'avdi Moshe. There are two categories of people you have to treat properly. You have to be in fear. You can't talk negatively about it. And who are they? So he says as follows. Somebody who is an Eved Hashem. Somebody who is constantly connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you cannot speak negatively about that person, even if he's not Moshe Rabbeinu. Even if he's not the Gadol Hador, but he's an Eved Hashem, you can't speak negatively about that person. And in addition, also somebody who is a Moshe, to Gadol Bator V'Hogeh Bo Yomam V'Laila, somebody who's constantly learning, constantly involved in Torah, Afa Bishenu Mi Baalei Avoda, and even though he's not an Eved Hashem, maybe he's always learning, but not a Eved Hashem that we would call, because somebody who's supplicating himself constantly to Hashem. But either way, if you have somebody who is an Eved of Hashem, that is somebody who is not the Gadol Hador, but he's an Oved Hashem, and somebody who is a great sage, he's a Moshe Rabbein, he's a great sage, but maybe he's not an Oved Hashem, you still have to fear him. And the message was as follows, even though you may not agree with the Ksos HaChoshen, you may not agree with him, but he's still an Eved of Hashem, and he's also a Gadol Hador. And either way, you have to be careful and you have to watch what you say. And that's why it says, that we have to fear and we have to look up to and show respect of somebody who's an Eved Hashem, somebody who's constantly connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, whether he's the Gadol Hador or not, and also b'Moshe, somebody who is a Gadol b'Torah, even if he's not strictly speaking an Eved Hashem. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.